I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with actress and advocate Erin Gray. Erin began her long career as a model in her teens and went on to find success in the entertainment industry with roles including Colonel Wilma Deering in Buck Rogers in the 25th Century and as Kate Summers in the 80s sitcom Silver Spoons. Erin shares her story as well as her passion for advocating for children as a board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation, whose mission is to identify anonymous child predators and help bring them to justice. The Ending Child Exploitation Gala is September 23rd at the Castaway in Burbank. Hosted by director and actor LeVar Burton, the event will feature music, entertainment, and stories from those on the front lines in the fight against child exploitation. And now, here's my conversation with actress, talent agent, and advocate Erin Gray. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you for spending this time with me.
So first of all, many may remember a couple of your most famous roles. That includes Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. But I remember you and your beautiful blue eyes from the TV series in the mid-80s, Silver Spoons.
Thank you. Very different roles.
Yes, very, very different roles. You married at an early age. Talk to me about those early years in the entertainment world as a wife, as a mom, and an actress.
Wow. We're talking 1968 when I got married, and I had started modeling in 1965. The 60s, we were about women finding liberation, about being able to do it all and that sort of thing and create their own future. I was not aware at the time that women did not have rights. We didn't really earn equal rights until the mid-70s. But I knew early on that I did not want to do the traditional roles of secretary, nurse, teacher. It just didn't feel right for me. So when I got into modeling at 15, I was very fortunate to start working right away, doing commercials. Luckily, one of the men my mother dated but didn't marry, shame on her, she should have married him, he was my mentor in life. He gave me the roadmap to success. And if it wasn't for him, I would not have even attempted modeling. I started doing commercials, and then I did a TV series with Ricky Nelson in 1967 while I was still in high school.
Oh, my.
And was accepted to UCLA, was, you know, had promised my mom and my dad that I would go. But I got there and I went, what am I doing here? I love math, but what am I going to do with mathematics? How am I going to make a career of it? And my agent called me and said, Erin, do you want to go do the collections in Paris? And I went, I'm sitting there in calculus, 350 people in an amphitheater. And I'm like, I'm out of here. Done. And pretty much decided at that point that I loved learning. I would promise myself to read constantly the things that I was interested in. And I wanted to travel and see the world. And modeling gave me that opportunity. So off I went. Now, of course, we've got the Vietnam War and all the protests and so on. And during that time, I came back from the collections and I decided that I wanted to focus on modeling. I had a very uncomfortable time. I was very young, of course, and I shouldn't have been out and about at nightclubs and private clubs at 16 and 17. Looking back at it, I'm going, I don't know how and why, but there I was. And what I saw really disappointed me. There were so many predators, I would say, and dishonesty, and I just went, okay, I'm gone. I'm going to New York, and I'm going to really focus on modeling. And the reason was, is in modeling, I could decide who I worked with, when I worked with someone, where, and I could travel the world. And quite honestly, modeling paid more money than the average CEO of a company. I'm talking in 1968, I was making, you know, six figures, and I'm like, this is for me. I want to be in charge and do it my way.
Yeah.
I also went through a very severe motorcycle accident in New York City, another foolish thing that I did. Mother always told me never to get on a motorcycle. Went, you know, and I just, anyway, I ended up in an accident and then in the hospital and then in bed for 3 months. And during that time, again, I went, what am I doing? Where do I want to focus my attention? And what I wanted to do was have a boyfriend and have a husband and focus on a relationship and not be dating. And I'd been to all the nightclubs by the time I was 18, sadly say. So when my boyfriend from high school came home from Vietnam, I married him.
Wow.
Now, the problem was is I did not know that he suffered from PTSD. So that became my problem as well, because he was having nightmares every night. He suffered a lot, and so did I as a result, but I was determined to have a family, to be married. But unfortunately, that ended. Now,
after many years, though, you were married a long time.
Exactly. We were married 22 years.
Yeah.
And third of the way through that, I decided I wanted to have a baby. Again, I'm trying to have it all. I'm working all day. I have a baby. I'm you know, making dinner every night because that's what women do. Mm. So at a certain point in my modeling career, I was very successful in a new department called the commercial department, because in those days, Eileen Ford and all the top agencies didn't have a TV commercial department, because most of the models had French accents or German accents or Swedish accents or whatever. But I was fortunate enough that I was raised for my first 7 years of my life in Hawaii. And my mom shipped me off to my grandmother in Palm Springs. And my grandmother listened to me for 1 minute and said, okay, you're going to learn to pronounce things clearly, because I had a very heavy Asian accent, would you believe?
Oh.
Yes. Thank goodness for grandma, because she gave me that nice Midwestern accent that was absolutely perfect in the 70s for commercials. Mm. So when Eileen opened up that department, I said, sign me up, send me up anything. I was somewhat fearless in that way. What that allowed me to do was to come back to Los Angeles, to throw my hat into the ring again, into acting. Now I'm more of an adult now. And I said, I can handle it. I can handle Hollywood. So guess what? I landed a role in a very popular sci-fi series and became one of the first female colonels on TV.
Let me reintroduce my guest is actress, talent agent, and advocate, Erin Gray. Your role as Colonel Wilma Deering, tell me about your time there. What kind of feedback did you get? I imagine many young boys, and older men, I'm sure, really appreciated that series.
Oh, that's a very nice way of saying it. Yes, I get to this day, you know, you were my first crush. Oh, how nice. Thank you. Oh, you know, you're the reason I found out I like women. Oh, good to know. Thank you. Or not, you know. But it was an interesting role for me in that I had two parts of my personality. The part of my personality that was fearless and willing to take chances and willing to face anybody or call anybody or to get the job done, or, you know, that part of me. And then there was another part of me that was unable to speak up for myself.
Huh.
And part of that has to do with the fact that I had been abused as a child. Mm. So there is something that's called muted senses. And I didn't find this out until many years later, when I ended up literally at a battered women's shelter after my husband left me after 22 years, crying, not understanding what I had done wrong, where, you know. And they explained to me that when you are abused, you develop these muted senses, which mean literally my mind would shut down and I would have no voice and I could not talk back. I would just freeze. And I suffered with that my whole life, and I still do a little bit. I've gotten much better. My husband, present husband, every time I talk back, he goes, yay, go girl!
Good on you. Right on, yes.
Yeah. So here I was given this role, and I felt like I put this cloak of strength on. How does a strong woman talk? Mm. How does a woman give orders? Mm. How does she stand? It was a new role for me, in a sense. And I had to create it. And it was somewhat of a very healthy process for me to gain some strength, to see what that felt like. A lot of people say with my opening line with Buck Rogers is, I remember feeling so uncomfortable arguing with him and how dare you, whatever. I can't even remember what the line is, but I'm very direct and commanding.
Right,
I just remember, please make this believable, because I'd never done that before. I had never really been that woman before.
Right.
So it was very new.
You were in a career as a model. You were crushing it there. You had the acting bug, and you did a few series. You've done several things. You must have guest starred on a lot of things as well. And then you would ultimately become a talent agent. How did you fall into that role, and why did you go that direction?
Again, wanting to have a certain amount of control, I guess, in my life. The first break in my relationship with my first husband actually came about during the writer's strike.
Oh.
In 87. Because I had two series and was doing really well, and I had money in the bank, and I was taking care of my mother, and I was taking care of my grandmother, and the strike happened.
Uh-oh.
And nobody, or I certainly didn't realize that it would last as long as it did.
Mm.
And I didn't realize how bad financially we were at that point, because my husband was involved with the finances. I put him through college. I figured he was, you know, majored in business. Let him worry about that while I do these other things. So he knew what was coming, and I didn't.
Mm.
And when he left, I found out that I had no money.
Mm.
I'll never forget calling my business manager saying, so, okay, now send all the checks to me, and I'll, you know, whatever. And he said, well, you don't have any money. I said, what? He says, you have nothing. I said, what? I didn't know what was going to happen, because as an actor, you're waiting for that next job. And I was no longer on a series. And all of the contracts to the various studios that I was offered after my second series, I had turned down, foolishly, I guess, looking back at it.
Sure.
Because I thought, well, I want to have some say as to what the next series is that I do. All of those executives were no longer there. And new young executives were taking their places, and the entire town shifted.
So to become a talent agent, you felt like that was a little more steady or a little more...
Well, I didn't know what I was going to do, and I literally went to employment agencies to fill out forms and saying, I can do anything. And they looked at me like, but you're not qualified. You don't have a college degree. You've never worked in the real corporate world in any way. I've only been an actress and a model, and I'm like, you don't know me. You have no idea.
There's that strength person coming out again when you get that determination, and you just like, you don't know me. I can do it.
Yeah. Yep. So what ended up happening was, I'll never forget, Barbara Luna. I had met her, and they had been talking about conventions, and I'm going, what's a convention? And they looked at me like, don't you know? And I'm like, no. Barbara called me up one day. She said, Aaron, you're going to show up at this show here in Burbank, and you're going to bring 600 pictures, and you're going to call me back later, and you're going to thank me.
Oh,
and I'm like,
nice.
And I just remember buying the pictures and putting it on my credit card, which I didn't have any money, and put it on credit, and going to this event. And I remember not knowing what to expect. And I drove up, and I see this line around the building and all these cars, and I finally find my way into the building and find the promoter, and I'm saying, wow, you got quite an event here. You know, what's that line out there? Who's that for? And he looked at me and he went, it's for you.
Oh,
excuse
my.
Me? What? He said, those are people lining up for you. And I went, oh, okay. And I spent the day listening to people say, we got married as Wilma and Buck. I'm like, what? Okay, gee, thanks. Or, you're the reason I became an Israeli fighter pilot, or the, you know,
oh
or
gosh,
a police officer as a woman. And I'm like, I am? I did? Really? It changed me in such a way to realize that somehow I had fallen into this legacy that I didn't know I had created, that I had made a change in the world, that women had found strength in my character to go out and do things that women didn't normally do in those days.
Awesome. Tell me what Heroes for Hire is.
Well, I personally am about people finding the hero in themselves, which means face your fears, walk with integrity, and do the right action.
Wow.